Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Burchy. Justin's here.
Hey.
And, well, we're just kind of killing time before the big three-day weekend coming up. No guests, just going to shoot the shit and take some Twitter questions as usual. Yeah. So, you've been watching anything? Have you seen any movies lately?
I just saw the new Hirokazu Koreeda movie called I Wish.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with him, he's the guy who did Afterlife and Nobody Knows.
Oh, yeah.
And also that really, really great film that Criterion released of his called Still Walking, which I highly recommend. It's on Netflix. Everyone needs to see that. But his style is really kind of... It's slow. I will say that outright. It's very slow. His whole style is just kind of observational, watch people live their lives thing, and watch as something builds slowly from that. Mm-hmm. I dig that stuff. So this film was actually about two brothers that are about 12-ish, somewhere around there. And after a divorce and their parents separate, how they go about living their lives, you know, just kind of missing their brothers. And it's really well done, really smart about kids and how they work. Really, really quite heartwarming. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Cool.
But it's only for people who can really tolerate slow movies.
Well, speaking of barely tolerable, I saw Dark Shadows.
Why did you do that to yourself?
My girlfriend wanted to see it, man. It's what am I going to say? And, like, of course, in the back of my head, I'm curious. Like, I want to know what it is.
Let's face it, you would have probably seen it anyway.
I probably would have waited for a DVD or something. Okay. I don't know that I would have gone to see it. But anyway, I did. And you know what? I didn't hate it as much as I hated Alice in Wonderland. So that's a step up.
So you hated it almost as much as like a nail gun through the tongue.
Honestly, like it's a really flawed movie. It doesn't really have a third act. Like it's all this rising action and then suddenly climax. And it's real sloppy. It's real badly put together. He introduces all these plot elements that fucking, like, half of them wrap up, half of them don't. And the movie just suddenly comes to a head. It's like he had a cohesive narrative for about 45 minutes. Then the last 45 minutes or hour or so of this thing, it's just every idea that he had for this movie just sort of thrown haphazardly in there, sort of half-assedly slapped together. And it sort of makes a movie, I guess.
When that happens, I have to... the director has to know that this shit's spiraling out of control.
I honestly think that Tim Burton is breathing whatever air directors breathe where no one ever even deigns to tell them that there's something wrong with their movie. He makes so much money, although this thing is a fucking flop. So maybe this will bring him back down to earth. But after Alice in Wonderland made over $1 billion worldwide, like his stock went way, way, way up. And so now he's making these giant movies. And I feel like no one's telling him, like, hey, you need to, you know, tell a story here. Don't just throw ideas out. Tell a story.
I have a really hard time wrapping my head around the idea that a director that was that good, consistently good, yeah, isn't at least to some extent self-aware.
I don't know what it was. And the fact of the matter is, like, in the first half of this thing, you can really see what he's going for. He's trying to make a soap opera, a real glossy soap opera. He even puts the camera where they put the camera in a soap opera, where you're getting sort of a three-quarters view of someone looking sternly into the middle distance, and then there's someone behind them that's kind of out of focus, that comes into focus so you can see their reaction to whatever astonishing thing the person just said. Like, real soap camera, real soap opera camera stuff going on there. And the performances are all informed by that. It's all very soap opera-ish. And, you know, I get what he's going for. I didn't like it per se, but it wasn't incompetent, and I could see what he was going for. It's the storytelling that's incompetent. It's the script construction, and just the construction of the film itself that feels totally incompetent. And so either he didn't really know what he was doing, or he looked at this and said, "This is great. I'm making a great movie." Which I find that hard to believe. I don't know, but yeah. So don't watch Dark Shadows. It is a complete waste of your time. But everyone probably already knew that. Obviously, looking at the box office returns.
Yeah, everyone knew to stay away from that one. That's not a shock to anybody.
I have to admit, although I think it's going to be a huge stinker. I'm really curious to see how Men in Black 3 does this weekend, because no one can believe the price tag. $375 million.
I'm wondering if Hollywood's getting, who's the studio on that? Universal?
Sony.
Sony. I wonder if they're getting cold feet, because I just noticed TickBuy pre-order the Blu-ray and get to see the movie for free.
What?
From Amazon.
Really?
Yes.
Pre-order the Blu-ray. Wow.
Who is going to pre-order a Blu-ray of a movie they haven't seen?
Of a third sequel that no one wanted in the first place. Oh, gosh. I wonder if that's... You know, it's the first movie Will Smith has made in 4 years. I find that... I feel like he's done something more recently than that, but no, it's been 4 years.
Well, you know, when... He has fuck you money on a level that most people can only dream of.
Yeah, sure.
Most celebrities can only dream of.
Well, I think he's the biggest movie star in the world, right? Like, in terms of box office gross and global appeal, like, he's the biggest movie star.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised he wouldn't make more films and want to keep that status, but I don't know.
Yeah, you get a certain level of money and there's just, what are you going to do, buy a fourth yacht?
Yeah, but at that point it becomes about the art. Maybe he'll go through another art movie period or something, and he
seemed like an art movie kind of guy.
Well, he would movies where he actually had to act and not just do the Will Smith thing.
Mm.
You know, the Michael Mann Ali biopic.
Right.
He did a couple in there where he was acting.
Legend of Bagger Vance.
Sure.
I remember nothing about that movie.
But anyway, so that's that. Real excited to see Moonrise Kingdom this weekend. Super excited.
Yeah, it's been getting really good reviews so far.
Yeah, yeah. I think Wes Anderson might be having a little bit of a golden era here after Darjeeling Limited, which I like Darjeeling Limited, but it is his weakest movie. And I feel like he's sticking to comedy, and he does that really, really well. So hoping he's on a nice little jag here with Fantastic Mr. Fox and now this.
I'll see it very tentatively, because Fantastic Mr. Fox is the first movie of his that I actually really liked.
Sure. Yeah. And then people are comparing this favorably to that in terms of tone and structure and comedy and all that stuff.
Okay. That's good. That for some reason his earlier stuff just didn't sit well with me, and I can't really place why.
When's the last time you saw Royal Tenenbaums?
It's been a while.
Probably since it may be close to when it came out.
But I remember I saw it on DVD.
Okay.
And my initial reaction was, I don't connect to any of these characters because I don't spend time with any one of them enough to really get to know them. All the characterization is very superficial. I remember having that problem with it at the time.
I would suggest taking another look. It's his masterpiece, I think. And it's a really solid movie.
Didn't they just announce a Blu-ray?
I hope so.
I'm pretty sure I saw that.
I hope they did. If they did, I didn't catch that. But yeah, if they did, great. I assumed Criterion would put it out at some point.
Right.
But anyway, you watching any anime?
Yeah. Not a whole lot this week, just because I'm leaving on a trip and I was just cramming in all the work I had to do before, and it was a nuts week. But I did have to stop everything once I got my new Studio Ghibli Blu-rays in the mail.
Right, yes, I got these too. I picked these up yesterday. It was some pretty screaming deals. I walked out of Best Buy with both of them for like $35.
Oh, you passed on Arrietty?
I didn't. I felt absolutely no reason to watch Arrietty again.
I kind of feel like I have to own every good Ghibli movie because they're getting fewer.
Sure, I could see that. I'm not going to watch it again. So
I draw the line at Ponyo and probably the Cat Returns. I will not bother with Cat Returns.
Tales from Earthsea, yeah.
Oh, fuck that. but Arrietty was good enough for me, and I'd actually never seen the dub of Whisper of the Heart before.
I couldn't bring myself to do it. I mean, I'm I'm supposed to watch that tonight, but I popped it in yesterday just to watch the country road scene, just to see if I remembered the song in Japanese. And I do. Still remember all the words.
I must admit that I actually went to the used record store and picked up Best of Olivia Newton-John on vinyl.
Yeah, but I don't know that I want to watch the dub. How is it?
It's actually really good. I really like it.
So Courtney Thorne Smith does better work than she did on Melrose Place.
I have to admit I had a huge crush on her from Melrose Place.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry.
Well, no, I'm not saying she was a good actor by any stretch. And I watched the EPK that they had on here and had the interview with her. And I'm like, wow, she doesn't sound like she cares at all. Then I watched the dub and she doesn't sound like she cares at all.
Yeah, it depends on who you get.
Well, she plays the bitchy sister.
Yeah, right.
So it's not like there's a whole lot of depth required there. So it doesn't really dramatically impact the dub in a negative way. It's still, with her in it, it's still a way better dub than, 90% of anime gets. So
sure.
All these transfers are just the best I could possibly ask for.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal.
Yeah, they did and the one complaint I have now, Castle in the Sky, Lopta has they restored the original synthy score to the dub, thank God, because I was not a fan of the new orchestral version that they recorded for the original release here. But unfortunately, it still has kind of sort of dub titles.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if you remember this, but apparently Studio Ghibli just gave them whatever translation that they had, and that's what they were expected to use for everything.
Okay.
And for Castle in the Sky, it actually was the dub script from the old Streamline dub way back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then they adapted it a little bit further for the dub, but they didn't really have to do a whole lot much more to it because it was already rewritten for Lip Flap.
Right.
And so there's a few variances here and there, but for the most part, they're dub titles. It's close enough that most people will never know the difference.
I certainly didn't. I certainly didn't really notice. The subtitles seem fine to me.
Yeah, they're just fine. I mean, unless you know Japanese and are following along and are being really nitpicky, because anime fans never do that, then you'll have no problem with it.
Yeah, I watched about half of that, and James Vanderbeek is pretty distracting.
Yeah, he is so miscast in that dub.
Why is he in that?
I don't know.
Is he still hot at the time? I mean, that dub is kind of old at this point.
Yeah, well, that was, what, 98, 99?
Oh, yeah, so he was still Dawson, I think.
Yeah. Which is still way too old. Pazuz is like, he's like 12 or 13 or something.
Yeah, it's a weird... It's a weird dub, but I watched about half of that movie, and I should have watched the rest of it because I remember liking the last half more than the first half. But I have a little bit more affection for that movie now than I did in previous conversations about it.
First half is a little slow, I'll admit. That second half is just magical, strangely, there's a whole bunch of extras. They reproduced all of the extras that they made for the DVD originally, and that was the era in DVD where people thought that people bought DVDs for the extras.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a ton on there. So I can finally get rid of these ancient DVDs. I was looking at them just to compare the audio tracks. Man, those look bad.
Yay.
I can never go back.
Yeah.
I feel bad giving these to people. They look that terrible.
Wow. Hey, how do you feel? I don't know why. I guess this only recently started kind of bugging me a little bit. How do you feel about those Uncle John Lasseter introduces the movie things?
I just skip them.
They seem kind of weird to me.
Well, they are weird, but they're, you know what they are? They're something that a studio does when they get nervous about Americans not liking these weird foreign things.
Right, so put Papa Pixar on there, and he can tell us all it's going to be okay.
Exactly. Exactly what Quentin Tarantino did with, like, Chungking Express.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Tell me that wasn't Harvey Weinstein, calling his buddy and going, come on, help me out here.
Yeah, probably. Harvey Weinstein and his amazing reputation for treating foreign films with respect.
Well, at least the films themselves were talking about films themselves being presented subtitled or, you know, with the original language option and in a way that is respectful. You just have to have, you know, a white guy up front just to soothe the closed-minded American soul. And I honestly, I can't really blame them too much for that.
Sure. No, I get it. It's just, I guess as for someone who feels that that's not necessary, I still look at it and go, yeah, all right.
It's not necessary because you're smart.
Yeah, says you. But yeah, no, I'm really happy I got these. And the I'm really happy I got them. I am really hoping that they I guess it's going to be a year before we get Totoro at this point because it comes out this summer.
Totoro will probably get actually there were a couple things that came out in Japan. I looked this up and promptly forgot, but
yeah, July it's Totoro and Grave of the Fireflies, but I don't know what's up with Grave of the Fireflies.
Yeah, Disney doesn't have Grave of the Fireflies.
Right.
Sentai has that, so
do you think that do they? What are the odds that they have the Blu-ray rights, though?
They would come together because the master licensor for Fireflies is actually Toho.
Oh, okay.
It's not owned by Ghibli.
Hmm.
So now that said, Toho is one of the most terrifyingly difficult companies to work with.
Right.
So I would put a bet on Sentai not being able to get these Blu-ray rights all that easily.
Yeah, it just, that seems like a giant, like, if, because it's not Disney, I just assume that's going to be a giant nightmare, and we won't see it for years. I just assume that.
Just to give you some idea, you remember when CPM, when we put out when we put out Grave of the Fireflies on DVD, when we did all those, you know, the storyboards and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Toho had a problem with that, and that was actually a fight. And I think it ended with CPM saying, F you, this, we're doing this with materials that didn't come from the materials you gave us. It's entirely separate. None of your business. I would put money that that's why it's not on the new version that ADV put out, or that Sentai put out. So.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out. I'm really happy to have Whisper of the Heart. That's one of the ones I was really waiting for. Now I just want Totoro and Mononoke. And I'll buy Spirited Away, but I don't care that much.
I really, really want Pompoko.
Of course you do. I mean, for something like that, though, for like Pompoko and like Only Yesterday, I would imagine you just get the imports.
Well, Only Yesterday, I doubt they will ever release. So, yes, I will get that import in a second.
Yeah, so I'm just wandering through my 90s Death March. That's ongoing. I am giving up on Rōnin Kenshin.
How far did you get?
I got about 10 episodes into the Kyoto arc.
Wow.
And I didn't think I was going to get that far, but I was going that far going, really? Really? I used to really love this? It's not a bad show by any stretch, but it's just typical shonen stuff. It's okay, typical shonen stuff, but it's just a parade of X-Men bad guys while everyone stands on the sidelines, gasps, and then explains what happened in the fight. And then the fight takes 6 episodes. Then they move on to the next fight. That fight takes 6 episodes. And, yeah... Okay, it's a good chunk of Kenshin, but I don't know, man. I'm over it.
Well, that was what was universally thought to be the only good arc of Kenshin.
True, that is very true.
So that if that doesn't hold up, that is some pretty damning praise.
Well, I used to be kind of meh on the Trust and Betrayal OVAs and super hot on the Kyoto arc and think like, oh man, but I really loved Kenshin TV. Now having looked at both of them, obviously Trust and Betrayal is a masterpiece. So to speak, and the TV show is forgettable. It's not something anyone needs to really watch unless they just love those characters so much. So yeah, my ridiculous love affair with the second arc of Rōnin Kenshin is over, and I will no longer defend it when it's being compared to the OVA.
Well, all right then.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done with that. Everything else I've been watching is all stuff that's going on the list, so I won't get into that too much.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. I mean, I haven't been doing nearly the level of dumpster diving that you have been.
That's a good way to put it, I think.
I'm very, very grateful for having done Buried Treasure not all that long ago, because I did go back and rewatch a lot of these, and that was the time where a lot of my, you know, childhood sacred cows were slaughtered.
Yeah, I will say that Escaflowne is probably the show that holds up the best. I'm about halfway through it, and it's it's still fucking as fantastic as it ever. And I think it's just because the storytelling is so tight.
Yeah, it's a really, really well-plotted show, and we don't get that much.
Yeah, you don't see that kind of storytelling, and it fits perfectly into its little 26 episodes. Like, the story doesn't overflow at all. It's all right in there. It's fucking phenomenal. Like, that show completely holds up to my memory of it being amazing, which is pretty rare. That almost never happens.
Yeah. I will get deeper into this on the show, but I was really, really, really shocked. I rewatched Evangelion, which I actually hadn't rewatched since, in its entirety, since it was popular.
Mm.
Like, right. I had, you know, gone back and rewatched episode 1 or episode 26 or whatever for, you know, years and years, but actually the whole thing all the way through, never done it.
Wow. Okay.
And I was actually kind of shocked. I think I like it better today than I did then. I'm like a fan.
You like it better today?
Yeah.
Yeah. My appreciation of Evangelion, and we talk about it all the time on this show, has gone from that's really good to this is one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That it's easily in there. And the movie, the end of Evangelion, is like up there. It's like, if I were to just rank that, it would be way up on my list.
Honestly, now I used to really, really love End of Eva, and now I'm just like, all I can think about is the TV ending. That's it for me now.
Really? Just the TV? I mean, did you watch the movie again?
Oh, yeah, I rewatched the movie too, and I do enjoy the movie, don't get me wrong. But the for me, that's the episode 26 is the real ending, the true ending. That's what it was all really about. And the movie just seems like, okay, well, you wanted the minutiae of the sci-fi aspect that wasn't, we didn't think was really all that important. Here you go.
Well, let me be very, very clear. I love them both. Like, they're right, both right. Great.
Yes, but we are arguing which is the better child here.
Yeah, right. It's like you have two A-plus students. There's really no point in hashing it out. They're both great. But that movie, just the imagery in it alone, just sends me over the top. It's so fucking wild. Like, it's crazy what happens in that.
Oh, God, yes. No argument. Yeah, episode 26 just hit me on a very, 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 very personal level, and it just floored me. Just floored me.
I think, I dare I say it, and I'm not psychoanalyzing you here, but you may be in a place in your life where you might appreciate that more now than you would have been 10 years ago.
Oh, without a doubt. 15 years ago? Yeah, I don't think any teenager, although they might think they understand those feelings, I'm not sure that someone that young can attain that much being beaten down yet.
Right.
You know?
And coming from it, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in fact, like, that's the chief complaint that I heard about the TV ending. People didn't get it. And B, you know what? We should stop this because we're going to sit here and talk about this for a long time. And we're also going to talk about it for a long time on the 90s show.
God,
so
damn it. Damn it, Evangelion!
We wind up down this rabbit hole every fucking time.
I know.
So let's go ahead and get to Twitter, because we got a lot of Twitter questions. Beam Cannon asks, just how many times a week do you facepalm when you read some of the comments on Anime News Network? Like 3-4 times a day, maybe?
You know, after a while, it's like reading YouTube comments. You just build up a tolerance, and you go in with certain expectations.
Yeah, well, we're not YouTube. Look, the people on our forums can be silly, but we're not YouTube.
I'm exaggerating. It's not that bad.
No, honestly, like, I may have an exaggerated reaction to the comments, to the forum comments, but our forums are not that bad at all. And now I just find it funny. I just find it funny.
Well, you know what's interesting? I think they are generally getting better as fans and the zeitgeist of fandom in general just learns more about the industry, and the connection between the Japan side gets stronger. I see fewer and fewer absolutely stupid opinions being spouted as fact. Yeah, I think as fans learn more about Japan, learn more about how the industry works, we're seeing a lot less just stupid posturing based on nothing.
We're still seeing plenty of that, but less so than usual.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have to go in there and, you know, say, no, this is how the industry really works now, because other fans will do that.
Yes, that is nice. People seem to have actually listened. Some people seem to have actually listened. A few people seem to have actually listened.
Luckily, those people type.
Yes. All right. ABCB Tom asks, thoughts on how Fujiko and Kids in the Slope are going. Episode 6s were eventful. Wouldn't know, not caught up.
Same here. I haven't started Kids on the Slope yet. I'm kind of waiting to marathon it.
Yeah, yeah. We got a lot of questions about this. Opinions on Toonami.
Yay?
Yeah. Sure. Can't be a bad thing.
I mean, yeah, they don't have much budget, but I programmed a whole lot of anime on Imagination with almost zero budget. So I'm sure they'll get good stuff. I'm not too worried. They might not get, you know, Naruto and Dragon Ball, but those shows don't really need any more exposure anyway.
Well, I'm not convinced that that's even what they want on that block.
If they're going late night, then probably not.
Well, the stuff they announced, I mean, Dead Man Wonderland and Kashirin Sins, I mean, those are late night anime.
Yep, and that's very dark late night anime at that.
Yeah, well, they're obviously just branding the already existing anime block as Toonami. When they said bring back Toonami, they meant bring back the bumpers that Toonami used to have and put them in your anime block. And this is only a good thing. Like, people are really bitching about it. And to be honest, like, we were just talking about the forums. The one thing that does annoy me is anytime there's any sort of good news, it seems like the immediate reaction is for everyone to just piss all over it. And that's all anyone does. Like, there's a new license announcement. The forum comments are going to be 15 pages of people bitching that it's not the exact show that they wanted, or why is there no dub? It's nothing but negativity. And so this Toonami thing came out, nothing but negativity. There's like a handful of people going, hey, this is cool. And most people are trying to tell them how to do it, or what shows should really be on there, and why is it not on in the afternoon? Like, just be happy with what we do have for just a minute before you immediately spin off into this horrible, like, just shitting all over everything negativity. I'm really tired of it. We can't have good things. Like, it's fucking annoying.
Now, see, hey, here's where I go, you know, that's the internet.
Right, I get it, but license announcements used to be met with, yay, I can't wait to get this. That did used to be how it went.
Right, but now there's just that subset of people that absolutely cannot tolerate not having a dub.
Not having a dub and whatever company, and now, like, it's not having a dub and I don't like the show. Why didn't they get this other show that I like more?
Oh, people always used to do that.
Yeah,
well, they didn't used to do that back in the era when everything could get licensed all the time and was, whether that was a good idea or not.
Sure, that's true. It's just that it seems like even good news is just met with just torrential negativity now. And it's annoying. It's like, do you people actually care about the industry? Do you like it? Do you want it to succeed?
No.
I guess not. I guess they don't care.
If that's – most people view the industry only through the prism of their own opinions and what they want, because that industry in their lives serves no other real purpose other than to serve them.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's true. Well, whatever. I'm annoyed by the constant negativity. But anyway, I think Toonami coming back is fine. I think we'll be lucky if it lasts to the end of the year. I don't really think it's going to get people to come back in droves.
No.
But yeah, I guess. But
well,
I mean,
there's a huge difference between an afternoon time slot and a late night time slot.
Yeah, sure.
Huge difference.
But, you know, Cartoon Network is showing an interest in anime again. We should just be happy about that.
Yeah.
Luca Q asks, slice of life anime, who's done it right? Much of it seems silly or over the top. Are there any must-see titles in this genre? Off the top of my head, I mean, slice of life used to be stuff like Yokohama Shopping Log.
Yeah, which was not done right, I would argue.
Yeah, well, it's very boring.
Yeah, or Piano.
Aria, I think it's considered slice of life, isn't it?
Right.
But then that term started getting applied to all the cute girls doing cute thing shows. And so now it's not a show that's just sort of deliberately slow. It's just any show that isn't really plot driven and seems to focus on the mundanity of everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge fan of that genre. I prefer it when a movie does that, but a whole TV show, I get bored.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of a show that is only slice of life that I really like that. But there always ends up being some driving arc, like, for example, Honey and Clover.
Yeah, that eventually gets a plot.
Right. So I don't really think of slice of life as being a genre so much as, you know, an element. And if that's all it has, I generally don't think it's enough.
Yeah, it's not enough to carry a 13-episode show.
Yeah.
I don't think. But, in terms of, like, slice of life stuff that I really liked, that nothing comes to mind. Like, I also enjoyed Honey and Clover, but I probably would call, I would say Slice of Life is an element, but it's not the overall, it's not the overwhelming thing.
Right. It's more a story of personal growth than anything.
Yeah.
Luca Q also asks, just got Roku to stream Netflix, Hulu, and Crunchyroll. Anime selection for Hulu and Netflix isn't impressive. Why, when regular regular Hulu and Netflix DVD selection has more anime?
Netflix should be pretty much the same at this point. I don't know what they're talking about there. Hulu, yeah, there's a whole bunch of Funimation stuff that is not available on Hulu Plus, which is what is required to watch on a set-top box or an iPad or something.
Right. Yeah, I don't use those services, but
that's a licensing restriction. Netflix should be pretty much identical. Early on, there was a bunch of stuff, and maybe there's a few stray deals from early deals where the Netflix streaming was only available on a PC. But they stopped doing those deals a couple years ago now, so there should almost be parity there.
Okay. Oni Kuno asks, kind of a shitty question, in all fairness, do people lump you in with the loudmouthed, obnoxious anime con attendees that you hate?
No, because everyone I know that would make that assumption hasn't gone to an anime convention.
I mean, people who follow me on Twitter might get annoyed with my loudmouthed tendency to, like, yell at bronies and shit. But whatever, man, I'm just trolling. Just trolling.
You know, usually I'm sure it's the same with you, but I have anime friends and non-anime friends. Anime friends would know enough that, you know, they wouldn't lump me in with the screaming teenagers. Non-anime fans are probably hearing about it from me.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I don't have any anime friends or coworkers that would think, oh yeah, Zach is totally the Marco Polo guy. Like, no. Because I'm not that guy. All right. Daniel Jayberg asks, a lot of anime seem to start strong but fall apart story-wise near the end. Is this a quality control issue or something else? I think the chief thing there is when that happens, it's usually because it's based on a manga that isn't anywhere near finishing.
Or they just didn't plan out their work well.
Yeah. I mean, this stuff is made in this incredibly hectic environment that's super rushed, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of times where they start a show not really knowing how it's going to end, and the screenwriter is having an ulcer while they're, you know, chugging away on episode 3.
Yeah. The production environment is not particularly suited towards a strong finish. That requires a lot of planning, and planning is one of the things that I guess there's not a whole lot of room for when it comes to this stuff.
Well, I mean, a lot of it also is, I think, producers in Japan are not as strong as they are in the U.S. There's a much stronger tendency to let the creative talent just kind of have no adult supervision. And sometimes that's what you get, because creative people tend not to be all that focused.
What? No. I mean, in terms of stuff that starts strong but falls apart, because his next question is examples of anime you think start out weak, then finish strong. Well, Evangelion.
Right.
Right? I mean, the first 9 episodes of that are like a different show.
Yeah, pretty much.
But recent examples, starts out weak and finishes strong. I hate to admit this, but I finish less stuff than I start. So it's hard for me to come up with something off the top of my head that started super strong. I mean, yeah, nothing immediately comes to mind that started weak and finished up super strong.
Only thing I can think of off the top of my head is Hikaru no Go.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what a great ending.
I haven't seen that in years.
I should rewatch that, but man, 76 episodes of Go playing, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Initial D didn't really have an ending, never mind.
Okay. AngelXL3 asks, suggestions for the best anime featuring an all or mostly female cast that could work for the new Toonami besides Sailor Moon.
Are we aiming at the Sailor Moon demographic? Or?
That's a good question, because anime with an all-female cast now is like Queen's Blade.
Yeah.
So not really the same audience, I don't think.
Then again, you know, I don't think... I'd love to look at the demographics for the late night stuff on Adult Swim, but I would venture a guess that it's more male. Heavy?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. But it's not like they can't... I'm a little surprised Inuyasha isn't part of the lineup, but I don't know. Whatever. Maybe they
Maybe they've realized that the Inuyasha interest is now pretty much entirely dead.
Zero. Yeah. I don't know. In terms of if he's all female cast aside, just shows aimed at women that would work in that time slot. I think any of those would be kind of a dumb risk at this point, because they right now they're based literally saying if people don't watch this, it's not going to keep going.
Well, there haven't been any major action-oriented shoujo in recent few years.
Yeah, I mean, like, of course everyone would say, well, Chihaya Furu, and it's like putting that on Toonami basically means Toonami will be done in like a month.
Yeah, no, nobody. Who is saying that?
Well, I think that's the show, because like the really good shoujo, people would bring that up. And right. It is really good shoujo.
Right, but it's also about an obscure card game.
Yeah, like that wouldn't work. That's a bad idea. Yeah, no, nothing immediately pops into mind as like, oh, this is, you know, this has a large appeal towards women, and it would totally work in this late night action anime block. Yeah, I mean, I guess they could run Moribito again. That's pretty gender free though. Like that appeals to everybody.
Right.
I don't know, man. Nothing really comes to mind.
No.
But if they did run Sailor Moon, I think that would be huge. Just if anyone had anything with Sailor Moon, it would be huge because no one's seen it in years.
I am worried that there would be blowback because I don't think I think there's so much nostalgia goggles with Sailor Moon. The show. I mean, I know the manga is probably different, but the show, especially those early episodes, people would probably go, "Ooh."
I got through 3 episodes of Sailor Moon S as part of my 90s marathon.
And that was supposedly the good season. That's the Ikuhara season.
Yep. And I got through 3 episodes of it and said, nope, never mind. Okay. Crystal Thingy asks, Justin seems to be quite the foodie.
Yes, he is.
Right. Do you have any suggestions on food-related anime?
Oh, there I love Cooking Master Boy, Chuka Ichiban, which is quite old now. But at least it's been fan subbed in its proper language for years. All you could find were fan subs of the Chinese dub.
Yeah.
Let's see. Obviously, Yakitate Japan, if you can still find it. That's a great show. I'm really disappointed no one ever brought that out here. Mm. Only a few things of Oishimbo the Gourmet have been subbed. But Oishimbo's not bad. There's not a lot of cooking anime compared to the amount of cooking manga. And I wish there were, because I really enjoy that.
What, no Yumeiro Patisserie?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's cute, but I'm also not a, you know, 8-year-old girl.
I still remember when we were at TAFF like a couple of years ago, I think the second season of that was premiering, and they had assembled this gigantic frosting-covered, like, tower of, like, cinnamon buns that had sprinkles and like little fairy dust on it and shit. And it was huge, but the way they assembled it seriously made it look like one of those cooking fairies just took a giant dump. It looked like a big dookie just sitting there. Like it was disgusting. Okay. The cooking anime that I've seen, I generally kind of liked. Cooking Master Boy, I remember really enjoying, but I haven't seen that in forever.
It's a very standard shonen tournament show, but it's a really pleasant one.
That's old, and I believe like fan subs of that may have circulated as like 10, 12 years ago, right?
Yeah, it's from the original Hunter x Hunter era.
Yeah, right. And at the time, it was such a novelty that it was about cooking.
Right.
Everyone was like, oh my god, I can't believe there's a shonen show about cooking food. Like, so I wouldn't watch it again because any fond memories I have of it might be dashed. But I do remember really enjoying that show. And time for V-Guy. Okay.
Haven't we talked about Evangelion enough?
What time are we at?
We are at...
V-Guy wants to know. A certain online anime retailer recently said via newsletter... He's probably talking about Rob's Anime Corner Store, right? Recently said that Section 23 is eating Funimation's lunch... As Section 23 has been licensing anime series after anime series, while Funimation has scaled back new licensing to refocus branching into various cross-platform co-productions. Obviously, anime retailers would see the company licensing live-action stuff as making the wrong choice. But diversification beyond anime into manga and co-productions really hurt ADV back when the anime boom ended. So is this anime retailer right in the assessment that Section 23 is doing so well? Is Funimation wrong to branch out like this? Or is Section 23 licensing titles that really aren't worth the investment? It's a good question.
Yeah.
I look, you and I are old timers, and when I look at the situation, I look at it as I cannot help but look at it and think, why is ADV blowing all this money and Funimation seems to be being safe and careful? That's how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that Sentai has picked up a few shows that I wish... I don't wish that Funimation got them, but I'm just happy that someone got them and they're probably going to dub it. Although, honestly, recent Sentai dubs have not really done much for me. They've been really kind of all over the place.
Stephen Foster dubs everything from the last three seasons.
Yeah, honestly, the dub of Zammed really fell apart, and that really made me really made me hesitant to enjoy any further work from them for the foreseeable future.
Well, that seems to be a thing, though, because Gooin Saga was the same way. Everyone was complaining at the second volume of Gooin Saga. It just devolved into this like stupid jokey bullshit. Like they weren't taking it seriously. It's a serious show, and they weren't dubbing it like that. To me, that's bullshit. Like if you want to go be a comedy writer, go be a comedy writer. But you know,
don't fuck with the material.
Oh, yeah, don't fuck with it. Like, come on. You know, people are paying what, $70, $60 for these things.
Yeah. It smacks of dishonesty, really.
And I hate to say this because it makes me sound like a humorless shit, but it's disrespectful. That it's not like a super campy, over the top, dumb show that invites the kind of comedy dub that they want to do. But if they have so little respect for this stuff that they're just going to do that, and it's like, yeah, fuck it, who cares? Then don't do it. You know?
No, it's totally true, and that's you know, I can forgive a bad dub, but if you're being disrespectful, that doesn't go away. That's just who you are. So that makes me really hesitant to watch more of these dubs. So yeah, if it's a show that I want to see, like Kids on the Slope, I would rather Funimation got that, and I can depend on it getting at least a respectful dub, if not a great one.
Yeah, and you know, we have to be careful about this because obviously now Stephen Foster will never be on this show, but
oh, like he was ever going to be.
He was, you know, he's turned us down like three times, I think. I've of the Foster dubs that I've watched, I haven't liked really any of them. But I haven't seen all of them, so I can't sit here and say that they're all like that. But the ones that I've seen, yeah, man, like they're not good. They're not good, and they veer off into that whole like I don't care about this material at all. Like that's the feeling that I get.
Right, and sometimes sometimes the original material is so lame. I get that. And maybe what he can pull off is a slight improvement.
I can sympathize with, yes, absolutely. I can totally sympathize with that. I get what he's doing. Like, and I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but there are times when it's like, dude, you didn't need to turn this into a joke. It's not a joke. Just to the people who are buying this.
Right. But getting back to the question.
Yeah.
Sentai seems to be licensing everything that's not nailed down, and a lot of these shows are not good, and from what I know about what sells, I know they can't possibly be doing numbers with them. So I'm just like, maybe you found a way to cut your costs down to nothing where that doesn't hurt you so bad?
We haven't seen their books.
Yeah.
The only thing we know about their financial situation is they're currently being sued for $8 million.
Right.
So that's what we know. Everything else, we don't know.
One other scenario that I can think of here is in the future and this future that we're going to where more and more revenue is coming from places like Hulu and Netflix, having a huge catalog really helps.
Yeah.
And since they lost most of the ADV catalog during the switchover to Neo ADV cluster of companies, it makes sense for them to rebuild their war chest so they can go, hey, Netflix, pay attention to us. We have this giant catalog and we know you only do big deals. Hey, iTunes, work with us directly because we're big enough now so we don't have to go through a middleman.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So under that, you know, obviously if your bread and butter is DVD sales, it just seems silly. But I don't think everyone's bread and butter will be DVD sales for all that much longer.
So you think there's a scenario in which they are future-proofing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I think that is a much more reasonable and logical position to take, because some of the theories I've heard about why they're spending all this money are ridiculous. But that makes sense to me. That sounds like it makes sense. But who
some
knows?
Sort of Brewster's Millions type thing?
Well, I mean, there was speculation that they're burning all this money so they don't have much in the bank when they do get sued. Which I don't
know.
That's
a fun scenario.
It's fun to think about, but I doubt that's the case. I don't know. But from what it currently looks like, Funimation's playing it super safe. And yeah, they're doing those. You know, the co-productions they picked were super smart choices 2 years ago. Super smart 2 years ago. Now both of those franchises, as I said to Lance and Adam on the Funimation show, those franchises are tarnished now. They're not quite what they were 2 years ago. So we'll see. But I think they're at least making smart choices.
Right.
Productions. They're not launching Funimation toys. They're not launching Funimation manga. They're not launching Funny Type USA.
What? No soundtracks?
Yeah. We're going to get Funimation Presents Anime Explode Volume 2.
Let's get into the CD business right as all of the music stores are burning to the ground.
Yeah, they're not. So saying like some co-productions, it's not at all the same scale. Like everyone can point to what ADV did in the mid 2000s and say, what the fuck? Okay. The guy also asks, when people are suggesting potential anime for Toonami on Adult Swim, generally the short list of ideas which Toonami already suggested as what they'd like to air if they had the money seemed like good choices. Stuff like Tiger and Bunny, as opposed to art house shows or mindless fan service. I think they made good choices. However, I still see people every now and then on forums suggesting Toonami air things too ridiculously expensive to possibly consider airing. While of course I'd like for Toonami to air the rebuild of Evangelion movies, I know they can't possibly afford that, nor can they run Redline. So, could you silence these forum antics and please confirm that Toonami is in no practical position to air expensive movies like Rebuild of Evangelion?
Well, more than that, they're not a movie channel, and when your whole franchise is people coming back every week, it doesn't really make sense to air them.
Yeah, movies don't seem like a good investment, period, for them. Like, it just doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, I mean, you only get one movie thing, unless you're a movie channel or have a movie block that people will tune in regularly for. People don't go to your network expecting to sit down for an hour and a half to watch commercial filled movies.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, hopefully it's a success. And if it's a success enough to where they decide to spend the money for Tiger and Bunny, I will consider the new Toonami to be the biggest success we could have possibly hoped for. Cause that show needs to be on that shit.
Yeah.
Akatsuki BK, how do you feel about the time it still takes for shows to reach the U.S. via Blu-ray, DVD? Will Japan and U.S. day and date ever happen? Well, it has happened. Don't you remember, what was it, Girl Power?
And Kite Liberator?
Kite Liberator, yeah, those are huge hits. It did stop piracy of titles that no one was really going to pirate. I don't know. Is that, how important is that?
I mean, now that we have simulcasting, not all that important.
I mean,
we would all like our DVD or Blu-ray fix sooner, but you know, that stuff takes time, and you know, you can, for a while they were trying to close the gap because we didn't have simulcasting, and you know, freaking killing themselves releasing product that wasn't ready, and it was just a mess. And there's, now that we have simulcasting, there's really no good reason to do that.
I feel like simulcasting has in a large part done away with the legit complaint that things take forever. There was legitimacy to that it took forever. When someone would license a show, it would take 2 years for me to be able to watch it. But if I have an internet connection and can complain on the internet, now I can just watch it legally streaming when it airs.
Now, that said, there are, you know, some ridiculous delays when it comes to DVD releases, you know, something getting announced and then not coming out till 2 years later.
Yeah, what Funimation is doing right now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is a little frustrating, but if you can watch it in some way, sense, or form,
I feel like the people who complain about this are old-school collectors who their particular need is not being met as fast as they would like.
Right, and that's fair.
And sure, and that's fair, but the basic need to, I would suggest it's not a huge problem, and maybe it's just easy for me, but I'm pretty patient. Like, I don't really care.
I have enough to watch.
Yeah, exactly. You know, both of us have so much to watch that if I don't get something until a year afterward, fine. That's fine. I'll watch it in a year. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
NeoCloud9 asks, thoughts on the Tokyo Pop Right stuff, print on demand thing? Any titles you think deserve rescuing? Not as much of a manga guy. I think Dark Horse releases pretty much everything that I read, so not really thinking about Tokyo Pop titles that much.
No, well, that's the thing. Nobody was. There were only a handful of handful of titles when they went under that people were really following.
Yeah, no. Tokyo Pop, frankly, never really released anything that I was all that interested in. In the early days, they had some good stuff, but, you know, all the Clamp stuff that they had that I was interested in got picked up by Dark Horse. So, that's that.
And are you still interested in reading it?
No, not at all. I don't care. I'm not going to read any of that shit.
It's Clamp. You know what's going to happen. Lots of pretty pictures and little else.
I got through 4 episodes of Magic Knight Ray Earth. That's as far as I'm going. Not a bad show, but I'm not going to sit there and watch it.
You know what? We're 32-year-old guys. At some point, it's just not for us anymore.
It's just not. I can't do it. That's why I'm rewatching this stuff, man. I want it to reflect who I am now, not who I was 15 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Land of Obscusion asks, with the success of Kickstarter-funded manga and the upcoming anime streaming crowdfunding site that our guest Sam Pinansky was talking about, could sports titles find viability?
There's an unanswerable question.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, if you told me, if I had to predict, if I had to put on my wizard hat and predict what's going to happen there, I would probably say the sports titles are still going to be the lowest rated thing on your streaming site.
Yeah, well, maybe not lowest, but they'll be down there with, like, you know, Magical Emmy.
Yeah. Down there at the bottom.
Princess Pelsia and, you know, and Dear Boys, right neck and neck.
Dear Boys, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hope that, especially Sam's site, I hope that what people can do is use that as a way to show that they care, a way to coalesce the fans of that show to really get behind it and show their support in a tangible, visible way, other than 10 guys on a message forum talking about how they would totally buy DVDs. Like, I'm hoping that Sam's site gives their passion legitimacy and a show of strength. That's the best you can really hope for. Like, if you really love a sports show and it winds up on Sam's site, organize a movement to get it popular, to fund it, to do it. Otherwise, no one's ever going to take a risk on that shit.
Yeah. Been burned too many times.
Okay. Jukago asks, have you seen any anime heavily inspired by this or that earlier work, but which you enjoyed more than the original?
I generally enjoy anime more than manga, so of it?
I guess I don't know. Nothing comes to mind. No example immediately comes to mind. I mean, he's talking about heavily inspired. I think he's talking about anime that rips off something that winds up being a better execution than whatever it's ripping off.
Oh, like the whole Razaphon is better than Evangelion? False.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing comes to mind immediately.
Usually, if we're talking about that sort of show where it's just kind of building on something that came before rather than doing something new and interesting, it's already doomed itself to being a show that we forget about in a season.
Right.
Even if it does it better, slightly.
Okay, Mike Step 1 asks, many people are asking Funimation to buy Yu-Gi-Oh! I think that's absurd since the starting bid is $10 million. What do you guys think? I think that's absurd, too.
Yeah, Funimation really isn't that deep into the merch business. They're probably not a good fit for it.
Yeah, and if they spent $10 million on Yu-Gi-Oh!, I would say, that's it for Funimation.
Not to mention, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is not the huge hit property once was. It still has some popularity, but it's not...
Yeah, last I checked, it's 2012. Chuodori asks, do either of you regularly follow any other anime or non-anime themed podcasts? And if so, which ones?
I don't really listen to any other anime podcasts. I occasionally listen to Mark Maron, WTF, and a lot of NPR podcasts, and occasionally Trance Around the World.
Right. You still do NPR all podcast form?
Well, now that I drive a lot more, I hear a lot of it live, but I love Planet Money.
Right. I still listen to plenty of podcasts. No anime podcasts. I occasionally check in with Anime World Order every now and then, but that's when they actually post an episode every now and then. But mostly I listen to my favorite video game podcast is Giant Bombcast, as everyone knows already. That's a great show. Jordan Jesse Go is still really good. What the Fuck? Although I'm at this point, I listen to What the Fuck when he has a guest that I really want to hear.
Yeah, I burned out on What the Fuck.
Yeah, a little burned out on that. I still religiously listen to Doug Loves Movies. Every now and then when I want to hear Neanderthal ranting, I will listen to the Adam Carolla Show. That is literally like filler radio when there's nothing there's literally nothing else.
I would rather listen to silence.
Yeah. Sometimes I run out of podcasts. Oh, the Dana Gould Hour. Dana Gould has a show now, and it's fantastic. It's really, really good. He's doing some really interesting, unique, and different things, and that is a cool show. He's one of my all time favorite comics. And the other video game show I've been listening to is The Indoor Kids, which occasionally does some really interesting stuff. So yeah, I guess I still listen to lots and lots of podcasts.
I love The Moth. I forgot about The Moth.
Oh yeah, yeah. I haven't gotten into that, but I hear it's great.
The Moth is great. It's you know, they don't offer like any long shows, like it's all like one story, but it's really, really good. And I also really enjoy the New Yorker Fiction podcast.
Oh yeah,
which is
I'm still all comedy podcasts, and you're all highfalutin.
Sorry.
Shin Taku asked, "Here's a fun question: did you guys ever have an anime crush when you were younger?"
Yes, and we will leave it at that.
I don't. Oh, this is gonna sound like I'm lying, but I don't think I did.
Really?
I don't think I had crushes on real people, not on cartoon characters. And I don't say that to sound like a condescending shit, even though it totally sounds like I'm being a condescending shit. But I think I never got to that point where I was crushing on a cartoon character. That never really happened. I was too busy being enamored with some girl that was completely out of my league.
I was socially dysfunctional enough that I had an equal chance of getting with either.
Right.
So at that point, you know, the distinction blurs a little.
So did I. I was just not, I just for some reason thought too much of myself to let myself go into the cartoon character crush mode.
Yeah, I mean, I was really young. I mean, I couldn't have been more than 14, 15 when that last happened. But, you know, at that age, nothing makes sense anyway, so I give myself a pass.
Well, it's a big confusing mess, yes.
Yes.
Okay, Baseman PhD asks, any thoughts on the new Baz Luhrmann Great Gatsby trailer and the teaser for the new P.T. Anderson movie? That teaser for the new P.T. Anderson movie, I mean, God, I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah. Frothing at the mouth for that.
God damn. And just the teaser is like, oh, I just want to be in a theater watching this right now. Like, I just want to be watching this movie.
Yeah.
I am totally stoked for the Great Gatsby, but I love Baz Luhrmann, so I even liked Australia, so.
I'm not a huge Baz Luhrmann guy, but I'm keeping an open mind.
Yeah, I think it has the potential to be lots of fun. The cast is really good, and frankly, like if you said we're making Great Gatsby, I would say, oh, so Leonardo DiCaprio's in it, right? And they're like, yes. So of course he's born to be in that movie.
Yeah, he really is.
Okay, again from Shintaku. Favorite cute mascot character in anime?
Oh, there's so many.
My favorite cute mascot character remains a fantasy world in which, in the dub of Cardcaptor Sakura, Tone Loc played Keroro.
That's pretty good.
It's only happened in my head, but that's my favorite.
I didn't see this that long ago, but I really love Kyubey from Madoka Magica.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's just such a polite dickweed.
I think I might watch the ending after we're done recording this.
I only have a couple more weeks to hold out for that Blu-ray, and damn it, I waited this long.
Like, it's just sitting there on my coffee table, man.
Oh, they sent it to you already? Oh, yeah, because you got the screener.
I have it, yeah.
Oh, fuck you.
They sent me some nice little special edition stuff with it, too. So they're being very nice.
I have to check when my pre-order ships.
I think it comes out the 12th, so you'll probably get it like the week before that or something. So in like a week or two. Okay, Ronan Willis asks, speaking of which, do you think the success of Madoka will inspire more original ideas, or will we just get an army of clones? I wish that's how creativity worked in the movie industry. Yeah. I wish, but that's not how it works.
No.
We're going to get a bunch of clones.
Yes.
Jaron Amonich asks, if you had to work for one business in anime, what would it be and why? I already work for the business that I would want to work for in anime.
Yeah, I think we have probably the safest jobs in the business at this point, which is so sad.
That's, yeah.
We're laughing, but we're crying.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah. Also, Jaron Amonich asks, favorite guilty pleasure anime, still going with Matt Cross 7.
Angel Cop.
Well, if you're going to go
no,
there.
No, wait. Humanoid.
Okay. maybe Ninja Scroll. Ninja Scroll is such a fucking reprehensible movie.
I never enjoyed that, ever.
It's for whatever reason, there is a really nasty part of my lizard brain that responds positively to Ninja Scroll. Youth Nihil asks, what would you think about an anime version of Escape from New York? Should I contact the Yakuza for funds? Well, don't do that.
No.
That could work. Escape from New York's been ripped off so much in anime. I think feel like you could already assemble that movie from like clips from like late 80s, early 90s anime.
Yeah, basically just, you know, you could do that as an extended mashup of every Yoshiaki Kawajiri movie ever made.
Yeah.
Characters all look the same anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Escape from New York, but not as much as Japan did in the late 80s. Oh, Jaron Amonich then adds, by business in anime, I mean a business that shows up in an actual anime. Okay.
Oh, well, that changes things.
Yeah.
I've never taken an anime business seriously because they're all so badly run.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap, if the district manager for whatever that chain restaurant in Wagneria are working showed up, they would fire everyone on the spot and burn the restaurant down.
Yeah. You don't want to work for Nerve because you're going to die.
Well, in fairness, so is everyone.
Well, you'll die sooner if you work for Nerve. Shit, nothing comes to mind. Nothing comes immediately to mind. Most giant corporations in anime are the same as giant corporations in everything, which is they're usually sinister.
And or if it's a more everyday show, it'll be just a job.
Yeah, you'll just be a salaryman or a waiter or a clerk or something.
Right. I mean, even the shows that are about salarymen doing their best, I wouldn't want those jobs.
Yeah, you're right. I want to live in the world of Sakushima.
No.
Okay, Asterisk CGY asks, will you record a session of the two of you watching an anime live? We've talked about this.
Yeah, I don't think we've gotten to a point where we have an idea that we're so dedicated to that we would put in the work to make it decent.
I am looking into doing some live streaming. The question of legality comes into this pretty strongly, and we have to play by the rules, unlike everyone else that does live streaming. Mm-hmm. but I am looking into that, and there may be some Ancast events that are live streaming that may not involve us watching anime, but we may do some live streaming this summer. So if you really want to watch me do a speed run of Super Mario Brothers 2, you may get a chance to do that this summer.
Knock yourself out.
If I get bored enough, yeah. But I am looking into that, and we might do some live stuff. We've always wanted to do live call-in shows, and I feel like we could do that now. So maybe at some point. We've largely abandoned the call-out format, so I kind of want to do call-in.
I'm a little terrified of the idea of not being able to edit those.
Not me. All right. It's fine. Like, it's out of my hands at that point. If it's a live show, if I edit it, people will get mad. So fine with me. Less work for me. And people are largely accepting of anything that happens during a podcast at this point. I've found that most people don't edit their shows. This show is actually an exception.
And if the logistics worked out, I would totally drop my mic right now.
Yeah, right. Okay. Not that I'm going to stop editing it, but yeah. Okay. Ed Sizemore asks, okay, I want you and Justin to come clean. What ideas have you tried to pitch to anime companies?
Actual anime concepts?
Yeah, of course.
We're not dumb enough to do that.
Yeah, we're not idiots. So, I mean, he's joking, but I would never do that. That is such amateur hour fucking rude, like, dumb thing that I would never do that.
Yeah, that's like starting interviewing someone by asking for an autograph.
Or interviewing a director and offering him your screenplay.
Yeah, don't. It's
like, we make fun of those people. we don't do that.
Yeah, and have never, for the record.
And if any of you listening out there have ever done that or considered doing it, you are a joke. Don't do it. Period. There's no scenario where
your headspace is so wrong that you need to really reevaluate how you think it's okay to behave.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I get it. It's youthful exuberance, but all you're doing is making sure that no one in that room ever wants to see you or hear from you ever again.
Yep.
It's you literally just saying, oh, well, I'm done with the interview. Now watch me light this bridge on fire.
It is pulling down your pants and taking a shit on the sofa.
Sure, yes. On that note, I feel like we're done.
Okay.
So,
going out with a bang.
Yeah, we will be back next week. We've got some guests lined up for the next couple of months. I will warn everybody, the schedule for this show is going to get spotty during the summer because of the convention schedule. I don't know. We will likely wind up taking at least 1 or 2 weeks off in July. So the summer is going to be a little spotty. But regardless of that, everyone have a great Memorial Day weekend, and thanks for listening. Okay, that's our show. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a little rating, a review. We'd really appreciate it. And hey, we'll see you all next week.